the volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome back to Jenkins and Jones, brought to you as part of the Volume Podcast Network. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Tyler, a.k.a. Dragonfly Jones on Twitter.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And John, a.k.a. LeJethro Jenkins on Twitter.
What's up, buddy?
And
Hey, you're not Cardi B anymore, and you're not Mike.
Oh, okay.
You're Mikael.
Mikael.
Mikael Gorobatio. I've been saying that shit for 3 days straight since I texted y'all about it.
Mikael.
Like a Mikael Myers.
Hey, is that how they say it back at the crib? That's how they say it?
For me?
Yeah, yeah.
Back no in one Italy. Calls me. Oh, no, bro. It's just Michael.
Mikael.
Mikael is like Russian.
Or French or something, but I like it, though.
Mikael.
I gotta find new ways to fuck your name up too. That sounds good. We got it, man.
It's not many ways.
It's Jean, my Jean. Friend Jean.
Hey, I'll mess with that though.
We got a jam-packed show coming at you Monday. We're excited. We are going to be the only sports podcast on the internet that does not know what happened in the Super Bowl because we're recording it right before the Super Bowl happens. So what a game. Boy, the commercials were terrible.
Man, did that team that won, did they pull it off, buddy.
That's the craziest shit I've ever seen or not seen.
From that guy. Right,
right. From that guy. From that legend.
That guy. Y'all know who we're talking about. Y'all know who we're talking about. That guy is special, man.
I will say the one prediction I feel really comfortable making before the Super Bowl happens is that it's going to be the worst commercials we've ever seen in a Super Bowl.
Why is that?
I feel like I feel like so many corporations are going to try to give us the, you know, it's we're quarantining during a pandemic, but we're still here for you. Liberty Mutual, I don't believe that shit, and I don't give a fuck either.
Y'all are forgetting about how long the lead up time for Super Bowl commercials is. We're gonna see a lot of racial unity commercials too.
Motherfucker, stopping riots with cans of Mountain Dew and shit, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be an all time day, bro. You know, we all have to come together to buy Dyson air conditioners.
Kendall really passed somebody a soda like that was gonna stop some shit.
Bro, a Pepsi, bro.
A Pepsi.
Like, dog, are you
right? Like,
yeah, like, are you my grandma? Like, that's some shit your grandma does, just give you a Pepsi unsolicited when you're on the couch, right?
Right.
What the fuck was that?
Bro.
That's gonna restore order here, right?
A Pepsi.
People said that was okay. A room full of people were like, yeah. Send that up the ladder.
That was a room full of Mikaels.
Mikaels and Matthews. Not Matt, Matthew.
You make
say
a good
the few,
point.
Motherfucker.
You make a good point. It was a Pepsi. It wasn't a Dr. Pepper. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it wasn't a
Pepsi,
a soda people actually like. It's a soda you get when they don't have the soda you wanted.
Right.
Like.
A Pepsi, dog.
All right. Well, the first thing we have to talk about, obviously, is the drama about Kevin Durant, which is like, I think every sports league in America is hoping that they can just sort of skate through the COVID era without people really examining the protocols and like the what's going into the sausage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was all with a fucking spotlight on it with this KD shit, where they said he was going to be out because of the, you know, the protocol for contact tracing. Then he was available. He played. And then like midway through the game, they yanked him. And said, no, someone on his list came back positive, so he's out. And then he just went on a tweet storm afterwards as the greatest athlete tweeter ever. He said, free me. He said,
free
NBA.
Yeah. I love when people say that.
He said that.
Free me is my favorite tweet from anybody, though.
He told the NBA, your fans are too smart. They see through your phony shit, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you guys think, man? How do you guys feel about the Kevin Durant situation?
I think the NBA is just handling this shit so terribly. And, you know, you got guys like KD speaking out on it now. Like KD, like, you know, like you said, he's like the best athlete Twitter. Like, I don't think there's any combination of talent and out there on the Twitter streets and in the sports world, right? Right? Like KD. KD's out here tweeting, you know, quote tweeting motherfuckers criticizing the NBA and piling his criticism of the NBA on top of that. Like, and you're the second best fucking player in the world.
He's good enough to do that, though. He's good enough to do that. You know what I mean?
But most of the guys, but Tyler's right. Most of the guys who, I mean, you're going to see, you might see Jared Dudley be interesting on Twitter, bro. But it's Kevin Durant. He didn't delete any of his old weird shit either, right? I mean, it's, he was just like, I'm Kevin Durant, bro.
But what do you want the NBA to do? Like, how do you do, like, the safest way to do this is not to have basketball. There's really no real safe way to play the sport. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing the best they can, and that's what I will say. It's not a good job, I guess, but it's the best job you can do without having a bubble again. They're not going to do that shit again. Nobody's signing up for that for a full season.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Like, the players, I mean, you know, the players want to play. The players want to get paid. They want to make money. The NBA wants the players to play so that the NBA and the league and the team owners can make money. But it was sort of agreed upon on the ownership side, it costs too much to do the bubble again. And on the player side, they're like, I'm not going to be without my family for eight months. Like, what's the point of being a rich person then? I can't.
Yeah, right.
My kids, right.
Yeah.
So I agree with you to some extent. This whole shit is just lose-lose, right? I mean, if you look at California recently put out their sort of tiered sports you could play. Basketball is like on the lowest tier, bro. It's indoors. You're sweating and
nothing but contact and body fluids. You know what I mean?
Everybody's hyperventilating out that motherfucker.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of a, like, you're fucked no matter what. I think there's a sentiment on NBA Twitter where people are like, you know, that's why they shouldn't be having a season or whatever. And it's like, well, the guys want to have a season.
They want to hoop.
That's their choice. They want to hoop. They want to get paid. They want to make money. Yeah, for sure. So, to some extent, I know it's easy to make fun of the, like, you know, don't hug each other after the game. You know, some of the stupid rules that get put into place. But it is also, like you're saying, like,
They're trying to make it look like they're trying. Right. Like, it doesn't make sense. It won't make sense, but they're trying to make it make sense. And that's all. And that's all they can do in this situation. We've never dealt with anything like this. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no blueprint for this shit. You know what I'm saying?
I did like the dudes trading jerseys. I think Kyrie was trading jerseys and they were kind of like passing it under the
eye. Yeah, he like stuffed his jersey in like between a knuckle or some shit. Like, it's just crazy.
I do feel like there's a real strong consensus among NBA players, though. And I'm curious for your guys' opinion about, is the All-Star game like is that one too far? You know what I mean?
It's asinine. It's not one too far. They saw the line and they just sprinted across it. You know what I mean? Even the players think it's ridiculous. Bron went out and talked about it. You know what I'm saying? De'Aaron Fox went out and said something about it. Like, you know, you want my honest truth? It's stupid. It is stupid. I mean, it's unnecessary. In Atlanta.
Yeah.
Where they're wide open. It's butt naked in Atlanta. Right, cold out there, butt naked. You know what I'm saying? Streaking through Atlanta. And that's where you had this thing.
The city that gives the least fuck about COVID, right?
All of our best players right there.
Yeah. It's a horrible fucking idea because, for one, you don't need unnecessary basketball at this point. And two, you're going to get all of the stars, the franchise players of your league in the worst fucking city for COVID. Like, how fucking idiotic is this, man? They need to dead that shit. Fuck that.
And what are the benefits? Like, how many people are going to really come to those games? You know, there's limits to that. You know what I mean? Like, you're having an all-star game with none of the benefits, for real. You know what I mean? It's just the best players playing, maybe marketing benefits on television.
No, the
advertisers.
The benefit is on the TV contract.
Advertising.
You know, the benefit is on that weekend, instead of the NBA being dead, you know, they've got 3 days of stuff. Because they're talking about they're going to do the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest, and all that shit, right? Yeah. So they got the weekend lineup plan, but
they don't need a stadium for that. You know what I mean? Go to the local high school and have people boom out. You know what I mean?
You don't want to
bring everybody to Atlanta.
You don't want to see what the ventilation looks like at the local high school, bro.
And I'm not shitting on Atlanta. I love Atlanta. One of my favorite cities. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the universe. You know what I mean? But, dog, this is not smart. People in Atlanta say Atlanta wallet. You know what I mean? So.
But, hey, man, Kia got to get these 2022 Sorrento commercials.
Right.
You know, it is what it is,
right,
man.
Right.
It was like, I think Kawhi had the comment that he was like, let's be honest, like, this isn't smart. We're doing it for money, right? And my first reaction to that was like, you could say the same thing about the whole season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but this is like,
but the scale of the economy for the whole season it feels a little bit like you robbed the bank, you got away with the money, and then
you
like,
go back to the same bank.
I forgot the change drawer. You know what I mean? Like, I could rob another 750. It's like you already made it out. Like, just take what you got, bro.
They haven't even made it out yet. You know what I mean? You know, the alarm's going off still. He turned around in the middle of, you know what I'm saying? He see the door. Oh, shit. There's $8 waiting over here, bro. Give me that $8. You know what I mean? Like, dog, just let's try to make it through this season. You feel me? This is, yeah. That's just, and they said there wasn't going to be one. You know what I mean? They said there wasn't going to be one. You know what I mean? I was celebrating because, you know, no Indianapolis. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're going to avoid having a whole city gang up on you. Right, you're not going to be talking any shit about Atlanta. So
right, all right. Hell no. I love Atlanta. There's nothing to talk about Atlanta. Y'all wiling over this COVID shit. Though.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I agree with you. It's, and, you know, we talk about sports. You have to laugh about it because sports is so unimportant in the grand scheme of things. But you look at any of the numbers out there about the virus and you're just like, we're doing an extra thing,
right? That's the way to approach it. No extra things,
right?
Basketball, right. No extra things, you know what I'm saying? That's the way to approach it. That should be in bold right at the top of it. You know what I mean?
Like, there's no schedule for after the All-Star game, because when they put the schedule together, they had to be like, maybe we won't be able to play basketball after this. We're going to have to see.
Right.
But they still put the All-Star game on the shit. Like,
I mean, also, don't ruin the season because of the All-Star game. I mean, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just
Yeah. All right.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Once they've said we're doing something for money, has anything not happened in pro sports?
That's quite a point right there. You got there, Mikael.
I just like all of our friends on Twitter who are, you know, smarter than everyone else in the universe. As you get on, it's like, they're not going to get through this college football season. They're not going to get through this NFL season. Major League Baseball is going to have to cancel this shit.
Have you ever heard of money?
They're not going to make it through the bubble. It's like, guys, are you aware of what money is?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. I don't know whether it'll happen in a really stupid way. But, I mean, you know, if Bron comes out and tests positive or something, it won't happen.
God, just don't even put that in the universe, dog. I can't have it.
I'm saying.
Tyler, I hear you.
Tyler, you saw the game.
Not my LeBron.
Devastated. You need a different word.
I would wall slide in tears if I got the news that LeBron got COVID.
Tyler, you saw the games last night. You saw Steph go for 50, whatever. Was it 54 he finished with, I think?
Yeah, fucking Steph, man. I'm going to say I was wrong about Steph. You know, I didn't think he was going to be a bum. I didn't think he was going to be fucking Terry Rozier this season. But I was someone who did think that Steph benefited from defenses having to account for Clay. You know, I thought that, you know, Steph would be like, you know, a 24 point guy, you know, but this motherfucker is looking the best he's looked since 2016. And I did not see that shit.
I mean, he's Steph Curry. And I'm still like, oh, damn, he's Steph Curry when I see him, like in 2021. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Why you said that, I don't want to cut you off here, but
no, go ahead.
I want to read this tweet from the homie Zeets. If you follow him on Twitter, Zito, his at name is underscore Zeets, Z-E-E-T-S. Zito is fucking brilliant. One of my favorite fucking people on Twitter. All right, so he retweets a tweet that says, you know, people forget and then remember how great Steph is like every 3 weeks. It's honestly hilarious. Like, oh my God, can you believe this? And so Zeets quote retweeted that and said, I actually wrote about this as the first in what should have been a series of me being challenged to write on a topic in 100 words. I wrote that Steph Curry is a sunset. This motherfucker said I wrote this. Steph Curry's a sunset.
I'm so happy you're reading this.
Yes. Okay. And so here's you know the sunset illusion that Zeets referenced here. I'm gonna read it. I enjoy people's love for sunsets. Sunsets are beautiful, but what is magical to me is that no matter how many times people see them, sunsets never seem to lose that ability to stun. I recently tweeted that Steph Curry of 2015 to 2016 was a player of wonder. I want to extend that to Curry in general. He is a sunset. Sometimes one can go some time looking past him, but then suddenly He scored 62 points doing the things that he has done for years, and it is still as stunning as the first time. And that's fucking perfect. That's exactly how I feel about Steph.
That's exactly correct. It's a perfect analogy.
Zeitz, like, I never lose sight that basketball is a game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the way Zeitz writes, it feels so important. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I love reading his writing. You know what I mean? Like, he's so smart. That's beautiful, bro.
But it is. I mean, yeah, I didn't think without Klay that the Warriors would be 12-11. You know, I mean, I honestly thought that they would have sunk below that. Yeah, but that was just a great game overall. Luka had a great game. Draymond had the weirdest stat line ever.
What it look like?
I read he was like the first player in NBA history to have, he had 15 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 fouls, and 0 field goals made.
Yeah. And then like 2 total points.
Did he miss a quadruple double from like not having enough points one day, like 8 or 6 or something? No, that's not a weird stat line. That's a Draymond stat line. No,
but I think these
zero lives in that space.
I think 0-5-15. I think it was the first time it, like, 0 field goals made, 5-15. I think it was the first time it ever happened in NBA history or something.
I wonder how many times Draymond's done something for the first time ever in the NBA.
He is like a human. Yeah, for sure. He's a human anomaly. Like, absolutely.
He takes basketball, what we think good is, and turns it upside down. You know what I mean? No, this is good. You know what I mean?
And then the Lakers had to survive double fucking overtime against the Pistons. John didn't see this game because he's
carrying on his Detroit Pistons basketball.
He's carrying on his 30-year-long boycott of watching the Pistons on television.
Dog, I'm good, yeah, bro.
This shit would have
infuriated. How did Rodney Magruder do? I had a ball watching Magruder.
Those motherfuckers blew a 17-point lead late in the third, bro.
Rodney checked in.
Yeah, the Lakers. Yes, that game would have pissed you off. It's a good thing.
7 minutes. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Rodney checked in with 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. So,
okay.
You know, he's in the box score, baby.
Okay, mixing it up.
Rodney!
Mixing it up. Triple single.
But,
anything in the
league. These Lakers are they're too familiar with the on-off switch, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a little too hard
because their on is so good this year, though.
But you don't need to make yourself play 2 overtimes against the Pistons when you're up by 17.
When I looked at the score, I'm like, what is it about Detroit that we can't figure out? I think it's too off against Detroit, like you said. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was tough. I do love watching. I will say it's fun watching the Lakers because I feel like THT is going to do something crazy in the playoffs. And then in the group chat, we're all going to get to go like, yeah, we knew THT.
We saw this coming.
You know? Yeah.
We saw
that's the value
coming.
Of watching a double overtime game against the fucking Pistons, basically. All right. You mentioned Rodney Magruder. We have no pride here at Jenkins and the Jones. No, we can admit when we're wrong.
For sure.
You know, and we wanted to issue our first ever corrections and retractions about the name Rodney.
A Rodney will rob you. I mean, and it doesn't have to be a Rod. A Rodney will also beat your ass. I was talking to my homie. He was like, I knew a couple Rodneys. You know what I mean? And one would rob the hell out you. You know what I mean? Like, get a grill done, try it on, and run out the damn place. You feel me? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's a Rodney is the thing about Rodney's is there's no middle ground. You know what I mean? They only exist in extremes. You know, either they're an IT manager. You know what I mean? Or they up and on you outside of a Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, those are Rodneys. And I think that's what confused us. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, Rodney Magruder, we're sorry. You would box the shit out my ass on public television. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
You don't have me sleep like your boy was. You know what I mean? Like, hey, my apologies, Mr. Magruder.
Yes. So to all Rodneys, please accept our olive branch.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. You had a particular Rodney experience, didn't you, Mike? Let's not keep this from the people.
There's a dude in Long Beach named Rodney who, you know, maybe listened to the podcast, you know, and like my friends hit me up and was like, you don't remember Rodney? I'm not gonna say his last name on the podcast, but right. Like, oh, I'm sure. You're right.
There's some Rodneys with big hands out there, big buddy.
Yeah, for you sure. No, there's some undefeated Rodneys in the streets. You know what I mean?
We slipped up. We got too excited.
And got a little ahead of ourselves. Reel it in.
Yeah, like, we had to reel it in.
That's the power of Draymond Green. You know what I mean? Like, Draymond he's that dude. I guarantee you people have followed Draymond into some really stupid fights over the years. You know what I mean? Like,
because Draymond's guaranteed fun either way. You're gonna have a hell of a night. It might be the top, it might be the bottom, but you're gonna remember it. You know what I mean?
For sure. Can you imagine Draymond Green in college, bro?
I mean, I would have loved to have experienced it, but I can imagine.
Must have been. I bet everyone there knew everywhere he was. Like, you know what I mean? If it was Friday night, I guarantee you the whole town knew where Draymond was.
Bro. Remember when he went back to college and slapped the football player up? Yes. Like, if you wilded like that as an alum, I know you was a wild boy when you
wait. A football player too.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like going and fighting the Qs. You know, you don't do that. In college, you know what I mean? This dude banging with a football player. Like, I knew a couple of Draymonds in college. I had two friends that were Draymonds, and they were some wild boys. You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely. You had to make.
But I had fun every time we went out. I tell you that.
But you had to make a conscious decision.
I knew what I was signing up for, but I was like 20. You know what I mean? At this age, I wouldn't sign up for it. You know. Yeah. Tell me what happened the next day. You feel me? Right. But oh yeah, 20. I was, you know. Signing it in blood.
All right. Tyler wanted to talk about Mark Cuban getting his dander up, I believe is what they would say where Mark Cuban is from, over.
I love that word.
Over people speaking recklessly. Can you cue that up, Tyler? What did he say?
So backstory, Zach Lowe said about Luka Doncic, he said, every time he drives, he is whining. He spends so much energy whining to the referees and slumping his shoulders to teammates that it has sucked the life out of his team many times. And so Cuban took issue with that.
And what did Cuban say? Speak on that. Hold on. He said, fuck you, didn't he? I quote, fuck you.
What did he say? Fuck Zach Lowe. He doesn't know shit. He said that.
But the thing is, though, Zach Lowe doesn't watch basketball. He studies it.
Yes.
I could see Zach Lowe with his notes and being like, I'm tired of him whining. And then this dude, Cuban, just comes out of nowhere and just says, fuck you. You know, this man studies it. He talks about it like it's historical. You know what I mean? Nobody thinks basketball is more important than Zach Lowe does. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Zach Lowe definitely does know shit. Contrary to what Mark Cuban would try to have you. Zach Lowe's a fucking mastermind.
He knows all the shits.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban just says, fuck you.
And then the shit that Cuban said was like, yeah, he might do, you know, the European hand pleading when he's, you know, talking to
him. He said that he rhymes.
Yeah,
that's what he said. He agreed with Zach Lowe. But I still love when he said, fuck.
Yeah, I enjoy.
I'm almost always a fan of that.
I enjoy people telling other people fuck you, but I do feel like Zach Lowe didn't deserve that fuck you. You know, I don't think Zach Lowe's one of the talking heads who deserves a fuck you. There's a lot of motherfuckers out there who need to get told fuck you, but I don't think Zach is one of them.
He didn't deserve it.
But he touched a nerve. That's Cuban knew, you know what I mean? Cuban knew what he was saying. And so, and like, if he'd have said, you know, Luke is selfish or something, he would have said, you know, he would have said, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He wouldn't have said, fuck you.
That fuck you was, I agree.
Yeah, right. That was, you don't talk about my guy like that.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, good for Cuban, I guess. I will say Luka wasn't doing a lot of whining against the Warriors.
Like, a lot of buckets we got.
Yeah.
But this was basically Shaq's argument to you when you talked to him after the whole shit with Spider, right? Is like, it might not be fashionable to criticize players right now, you know? And I think there's some understandable defensiveness that, like, I think it's basically Jeff Van Gundy's fault, to be honest with you, that, like, we all feel that sometimes you watch a national game and, you know, the broadcast can be a little bit negative. And so, therefore, when people criticize a player, everyone's like, we got to lift up the stars in the NBA and promote the game or whatever. But that was basically Shaq's argument was like, a lot of times the players, you criticize them, they get upset and then they improve on the thing that you criticize them about.
But right? for the people that are like saying these things, have you ever played basketball? Whining has been part of basketball forever. It's called gamesmanship. They've been doing it ever since. When I was playing, there was always some player yelling in the lane that didn't get fouled. You know what I mean? And it's dude, the refs fall for that. You know what I mean? So they're just
the refs are human beings. The refs are the most easily leveraged, and they can be
manipulated. Right. And this is how you manipulate refs and the conversations that are had, you know what I'm saying, while free throws are being shot. That's always been there. So I don't know like what planet these people are from that are talking about whining. Who doesn't whine when they're competing on this, especially on this level? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? This dude's trying to win an MVP. Of course he's whining more than ever. You know what I mean? Like,
but he's
more
right.
to gain than ever.
Basketball is a sport where it's like, there's no example of a superstar who did, like Jordan asked for calls all the fucking time.
All the time.
Like they
Jordan had another- said he got fouled every time he touched the ball. Yeah. Bro, I think he said that after the push, when he stumbled in the lane and was it Indiana?
Yeah.
I think he said that after that, like he gets fouled every time he touches something like that. But anyway,
did you ever see that clip of Jordan staring at a ref and then getting the whistle after he stared and the ref coming and apologizing to Mike? Did y'all ever see that clip?
Yeah, he comes and puts his hand on his stomach.
Yeah, he puts his hands on his stomach. I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, right. I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, this motherfucker stared a ref down and got a late whistle and then got an apology. Come on, man.
Bro, it's been happening. So. I mean, like, you know, Zach Lowe knows a lot. And Luka's probably whining more than ever. But it's been a very frustrating season. He's trying to win. He was, you know, preseason favorite for MVP. That's not the case now, but the team's too bad. You know what I mean? Of course he's whining. He's a human too. But whining is a part of – it is basketball. Like, it's gamesmanship.
Right. I mean, you talk about Jordan. You talk about the coaches, work the refs. You know what I mean? Like Phil Jackson obviously was the master of it. They're like, well, you know, they were really missing all the hand checks on Mike, you know? And then the next game, all of a sudden they call
17 hand checks called.
Right, you know, like, and there was, I don't know if you guys ever read the book Scorecasting, but it was like an analytics attempt to look at sports from a different perspective. And one of the things they looked at was home court advantage. Mm-hmm. And they used basketball as their example because they said, unlike baseball, all the courts are the same dimension, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Unlike football, weather doesn't factor into it at all. So basketball, they looked at free throws. And I think everyone has a feeling that like, oh, you know, you're shooting free throws on the road in the playoffs and it's crazy. It's more pressure or whatever. But like statistically, they're like across the playoffs, across the regular season, dudes shoot roughly statistically equally from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. The difference was that home teams get like 1.8 more fouls called for them than road teams.
Yeah.
That like the crowd influencing the officials is essentially what home court advantage was. And it, sure enough, if you look at the bubble and you look at this season with no fans, it's basically, there's not really a home court advantage. You know what I mean? So I thought that was interesting, but yeah, the crowds work the ref, the coaches work the ref, the players work the ref. Like that is basketball because the ref is the thing that changes. The hoop's the same height.
Yeah.
The dudes are the same dudes on defense, but the ref, if you could get a ref to call the technical foul on Draymond Green when he's whining, you know, don't let him talk to you like that, whatever.
Or when he punches you in the dick, you know what I mean? Human error is a part of the game, all right? And you're vying to get that to lean in your way. That's what whining is. And it's been going on ever since I knew the game existed. Stop it. Stop whining about whining. You're the fucking whiner, weirdo.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free, John and Tyler. I'm talking about NBA InPlay. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen. Claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA InPlay, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use and takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to because NBA InPlay is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. I like
that. Good job, Mike.
It's not over yet. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA Inflay today. All right, now back to the show. All right, we have another great debate topic after bringing up John's cartoon augmented beard on the last podcast.
Augmented.
A couple people replied and made comments about my beard connects, but I'm going bald and I'd trade back if I could. And I thought that's actually an interesting debate because these are both $1 billion industries, male head hair.
And beard now.
So this is my question. If you could choose one for the rest of your life from this point forward, would you be bald or balding, but with a nice full beard that looks however you want it to look? Or would you rather never be able to have the beard connect, but never go bald?
Wait, so this right here with hair?
But you could do, I mean, it could grow in as full or, you know, as thick as you want it or whatever.
Wait, no, I'm saying like this right here, but I'll still have a full head of hair.
Yes.
With just this on my face.
Yeah, but the shit wouldn't connect. Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
You keep the hair on your head?
I'm cool with that. Oh, yeah. I mean, just like, bro, you don't know what's going to happen when you go bald. I know what my face looks like. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? When you go bald, the beard, yes, is cool. You know what I mean? But like, when you go bald, you don't know how that head shape might not be right. You might be out here looking like the juggernaut. I'm good. Going bald I would be fine going bald if I had a beard, but I would never choose to go bald. You know what I mean? That's how I feel.
But see, the thing is, I'm pretty much bald already. Like, I keep my hair cut low as fuck, but I'm like, I got like the Kobe bald, not the MJ bald where my fucking skin is glistening. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the MJ bald. Hell, I don't want to be Louis Gossett Jr. out this motherfucker. No.
It don't look like head skin no more. It's like elbow skin. You know what I mean? It's a different type of skin when you shaving that thing like that. You feel me?
Goddamn bowling ball.
So what would you choose though? So you just want the full beard?
If I can have the ball that I have now, hell yeah, I'll take a beard. Like I said, I don't want that goddamn shiny ass bowly ball though. Nah, I don't want that shit.
But the thing is, because you cut your hair so short, you know what your head look like, bro. Heads be out here not looking like heads, bro.
right.
They be looking like other things.
See, I got a round head.
I got a knot on the back of this. I might look like the alien. I got a hook on the back of my head, as my country friends say.
But I got a round head, and round heads are easy. You know, they're aesthetically pleasing when they're bald.
But a square head,
that's what I was going to say. Square heads do not look good bald, which is why I understand why LeBron is holding on for dear life to his shit. Right. He's a square head, motherfucker.
That's a Lego head ass dude.
You will see the angles on LeBron's head.
Right. Yeah. You can do geometry on that man's head.
LeBron got some sharp right and left turns going on.
Right. You can figure out the angles on that joint, bro. Like, so I mean, hey, it depends on. Hey, that's a risk you take it.
But let me point out, you can have the same problem with your face that you can have with your head. Now, you know, because your face is the same thing as Tyler's head. You don't have a full beard, so you know what your face looks like.
I know what my face looks like, so I'm not,
Now, I've had a full beard since I was like right out of high school. I had a goatee in high school, you know, that connected, and then grew the beard like right away in college. And my wife actually reminded me yesterday, we woke up, she goes on her Facebook, you know, the memory pops up, she goes, she looked at me like I was the evilest man in the world. She said, it was 13 years ago today you shaved your beard.
Bro,
I saw Goatee Mike.
Goatee Mike was a baddie to me,
bro. But beardless. I believe I've told you guys this story, but her response was, I shaved it. I walked out. She said, and she just literally looked at me and said, we're never doing that again.
Did she laugh?
No, she didn't laugh. She did me the courtesy. She did me the courtesy of not seeing my face and bursting into laughter. But she told me we're never doing that again.
I thought she didn't laugh because she was dead serious.
No, she was dead serious. And I think I've also told you the story. 2 years later, someone brought up, didn't Mike shave his beard once? And Char said, yeah, we're never going to do that again because we were walking around and people were assuming he must have been rich.
We don't talk about that in this household.
So it could be, I mean, it could be anything. It's but you know, hair is, that's man makeup. Like whether beard or your head. Bro, look,
if you got a beard, sunglasses, and a hat, you no matter what you look like for real, you a baddie, bro. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, that's contouring. You feel me? Like a beard, sunglasses, and a hat, you are fully contoured. You got a full face on. Let me put my face on before I leave the house. That's your face. It's covering your face, bro. And you and so you can be in the club, nigga. You know, so you take that off, man. I don't know what you might look like, an elbow of the back of a knee. You know what I mean? But you look good in that moment, dog. I'm telling you. So yeah. But I know what my face is like, so I'm comfortable with that. You know what I mean? I've had this face for a long time. I don't know what this head look like butt naked. You know what I mean? And that hook doesn't, you know.
It sounds
what I mean?
Like you have some advanced data you're concerned about.
No. My dad got a little on the back of his head, but he looked good. He looked good. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if I'm gonna get away with that, dog. I don't know if I'm getting away. His beard is. He had a beard since 10th grade, so I don't know.
John, I don't know if I'm get away with it. Did you watch WandaVision yet?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Let's run that.
Okay.
Let's
okay. All right, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
WandaVision, go.
WandaVision. I think the biggest takeaway that probably all of us has is Wanda is a bad motherfucker. Dog, when she came out that bubble with that motherfucking drone in her hand.
Let me tell you what time it is, just in case you don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's bruh. What it was, bro.
Bruh. And then she did the motherfucking flick of the wrist where all the guns that were on her got pointed. On the fucking dog. And she came out there and she was like, look, y'all better leave me the fuck alone. Y'all are lucky I just took over this town. Right? She's like, y'all lucky I just took over a town of 1500. I could take over all of this shit. Yeah. Wanda's a bad motherfucker, man. But something that you know, I'm thinking of is I think Vision is legitimately resurrected. Once we got the news that she took his corpse and we know that they have the Mind Stone, I think you get Vision's corpse, the Mind Stone, and some Wanda magic, you could legitimately resurrect Vision. So I think he's legitimately resurrected. Also because, you know, he's starting to figure shit out himself. Like, he's not under Wanda's control.
He said, you can't get me like you're getting them. Yeah.
Right.
So that makes me feel the same way. But I would tell you the moment for me, it wasn't that she was holding the drone, she came out in her Avengers costume. You know what I mean? As soon as she walked out, she wasn't wearing the fucking, you know, 1970s shit anymore.
She was more ready out that motherfucker.
It was shit.
Yeah, but you know, something that I'm piecing together here too is, you know, the For the Children shit, right? Like, you know, they were chanting that shit in the previous episodes. You know, there's no children besides the twins in that whole town. Mm-hmm. And Vision's wondering where the children are. And you notice that Wanda cannot control the children. She couldn't make them stop crying. She couldn't make them stop leveling up their ages.
She had to convince them. Yeah. She had to persuade them. She couldn't just stop them from growing up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a theory here that I think Wanda can only bond and control those who have trauma. And kids are not like traumatized yet. Because remember when Vision, you know, fucking took Wanda's spell off his coworker and his coworker was stressing like I gotta call my sister. He's taking care of our sick dad. Like,
man, that shit hurt. Moment, that shit physically was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there's probably gotta be some trauma for Wanda to tap into to control you. And kids are fucking, you know, they haven't really been through shit, so she can't control them. So I think she probably sent the kids somewhere else. That's why there are no kids in that town, because they would have fucked it all up. That's
but
what
she
I'm
sent them away from the parents. That's some cold shit right there, bro.
Yeah, Wanda's being so the villain
not
of this
letting
shit.
The dude
more
call
we learn
his
about
sister.
It.
I mean, I think we this was an episode we really understood. Like, you got to actually think about how fucked up this is. What she did, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing to think about, because I kind of assumed that she was like. Making that she was creating the world, not that she'd taken over a town.
You know actual I mean? People with lives prior.
I mean, that is like that's some cold. It's one thing we talked about it on the after the last episode. If you've ever lost someone close to you and you had the power to affect reality, I absolutely would have done what Wanda did. If I could go somewhere and just wrap myself in a reality for a while where that person was still there and you could still have conversations with them, absolutely. I mean, most of us do that in our head in one way or another if you lose someone, but I'm not going to go kidnap.
Take people from their family.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that is crazy.
Bro, like, there's been the, you know, the running gag between Thor and Hulk on who's the strongest Avenger. And of course, Wanda's not as physically strong as those two, but Wanda is the most powerful Avenger. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw when she had fucking Thanos lavender ass in that motherfucking blender in Endgame, right? That motherfucker had to call for help. He was like, send the ass strikes. Like, this chick putting them hands on. Yeah.
Send that man out on a ride, you feel me?
And his wrinkly chin ass under pressure, boy. But yeah, Wanda is the most powerful Avenger.
I mean, it's one thing to have a mutant power that makes you fast, you know, like her brother, or control metal like her dad, but the power to control reality, like you could get 50 different writers and say, we have a character with that power, and they'd give you 50 completely different stories. You know what I mean? Yeah, because it just, what does that mean? And, you know, for anyone who's read the sort of the two comics this is based on, there's House of M, which everyone's kind of talking about with House of M. The writers that are credited in WandaVision. Yeah. In House of M, the plot was in kind
she
of...
She altered the reality of the whole world in House of M.
Yes. In a similar moment of trauma, she said, no more mutants. And it was like a genocide. It wiped out basically almost all the mutants, just like that. And then there's a book called The Vision, which is about Vision, similarly in kind of a moment of trauma, creating a family for himself in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. So those two books are kind of merged, but they're kind of playing tricks on you if you've read any of that stuff, because it's like, well, how is this ending? You know what I mean? Is she about to do something to the whole world? Or is this something that's focused just on like her relationship with Vision? And this show is just a really interesting way to bring back an Avenger that got killed in the movie.
Y'all are comicologists, bro.
Love that.
Y'all have a PhD in this shit. Y'all pulling back all these books. I've never read none of these things. I'm, you know,
Tyler's supposed to get his delivery of, I'd sent him the Vision, and he's supposed to get his delivery today. He lives in the fucking Bermuda Triangle. So.
Oh no, it's the fucking it's the USPS, man. Fucking that orange motherfucker with his little bullshit ass war he waged on the fucking post office. Fucking idiot. But yeah.
I can't get the Vision.
Yeah. I haven't been able to. We haven't been able to mail Tyler anything since about September. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, allegedly the reship of that is coming today. So you'll have some shit to catch up on. But
I think it's interesting how imperfect perfection is. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like it's like she's trying to create this perfect reality. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm looking at like perfection is boring. It's sterile, which makes it imperfect. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, like, perfection for me would be different from somebody else too. There's so many different versions of that. You know what I mean? Like, I love a little debauchery. I think it's delicious. You know what I mean? Like, that would be horrible to others. You know
what
I mean?
You wouldn't have put,
like,
yourself in I Love Lucy.
No!
Other words, right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying? You know, so like, how perfection, there's no, the concept of perfection is impossible. You know what I mean?
But after all the shit Wanda just went through, I can totally see how boring is exactly what she wants.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. She wants sterile. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she wants. Well, and I would say this too. I mean, you know, people react to trauma and stuff differently. But I would say that, you know, for me, when we lost people in my family, we watched a lot of TV afterwards. You know what I mean? That was sort of like, you know, you have the
reality a little bit.
Yeah, you have the funeral.
She could create it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of wrap yourself up in that. You're like, I mean, it's nothing easier to pass 3 hours than watching TV. You know what I mean? You just like, okay, cool. I guess it's time for bed now. I don't have to think about anything. That's it. But
TV dreaming.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the big mystery of the show, that I don't know if they'll explain it, but why is she broadcasting this as a TV show? That's the thing I'm most curious about, Tyler. Like, she could do all this stuff without sending out, like they said in the third episode, it is an actual broadcast signal. So I'm curious about why that's happening.
Right. And her bringing her brother back at the end, bro. That was why. And
did she though? Because she said she didn't know who it was.
No, that look, it was the Fox Quicksilver, right?
Yeah. She brought back the Quicksilver from the alternate X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah. So
cinematically.
So, right. So that was kind of a wink and a nod to the fans that, you know, the MCU, we've got X-Men rights now. But also, I think that might be setting up for the Doctor Strange multiverse movie, because, you know, if they're showing multiple Quicksilvers like this. So just a thought.
I totally agree with you. And I'm like, they made the Kat Dennings' character, whoever it is, I forget the name. She made the joke. She recast her brother. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, they pulled him from a different cinematic universe. Is that conscious? Is that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm super curious to see if they answer all that stuff. I agree with Tyler. Like, I have faith at this point, they're not going to leave shit untied. it's very obviously everything's been planned out very meticulously. So I don't know, man. That shit was crazy.
Some freaky shit going on here, man.
It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy in fucking Westview. All right, before we wrap up, we're going to ask a favor for everyone listening to the show. Can you please tweet at Jared Dudley?
He's our dream guest.
Just tweet at Jared Dudley to come on. Just tweet him, come on, go on Jenkins and Jones, please. We're trying to get Jared Dudley. I believe that we can get him. But I just think of everyone in the NBA right now, he seems like the right intersection of a dude who has a lot of stories and a dude who's willing to tell the stories that he has.
He just seems fun to me. I like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we want Jared Dudley on Jenkins and Jones. Please tweet at Jared Dudley. Go on Jenkins and Jones. Tyler, are you on board? Can we?
Hell yeah. Jared, bring your ass, bro. Come on. Let's get it. Let's fucking go, Jared.
We need the Dragonfly Jones Twitter army to, I'm not going to say bully, to just, you know, overwhelmingly request politely that he comes on.
Let him know that we exist.
Please,
like him to join us.
All right. That's all we got for this episode of Jenkins and Jones. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode. So stay tuned. Tell all your friends. Subscribe. What else are people supposed to do? Give us the stars.
Give us all the stars. We don't want any, you know, critical analysis where you give us 4 stars. Give us 5, bro. Don't be one of those motherfuckers.
Just leave us alone then.
We're doing all the criticism internally and just trust that process is happening and appreciate it. And then just give us the 5 stars. And remember to follow us on social media at The Volume Sports on Twitter and at The Volume Sports on Instagram. Rate, review, and hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts.